Welcome to the Within You podcast. I'm your host and wellness big sis, Rebecca Lee. My mission is to help guide and empower you to grow into the best, most authentic version of you so that living and feeling your best life becomes effortless. Here on the Within You podcast, we will be diving deep on all things wellness, mindset tips, motivation, and living an overall holistic, healthy lifestyle. Think of this podcast as your daily dose of self-development, where a positive mindset and holistic wellness come together. Now, let's get into the episode, but before we do, don't forget that it all starts within you. Hello, hello, my loves. Welcome back to the pod. I just wanted to quickly let you know that if you were planning on getting the course Unleash Your Inner Glow, How to Heal the Relationship with Yourself, Body, and Food, to help supplement this mini series, or if you find that you really want to do the extra work to really feeling your best from the inside out, making those internal shifts so that you don't feel at war with yourself, food, or your body anymore, then it is now the time to snag it, because we've had a promotion all month long for our pod fam and our pod fam only. We've been offering a half off, which I've never done before, on the course. So if you want to get it, I suggest getting it now, because the code will end on December 1st. So December 1st, 2023 will be the last day that you can use code PODFAM50 to get 50% off on the course. So I highly recommend checking that out. I will have it linked in the show notes so you can read all about it there. And I don't want to waste any more of your time. So let's jump right into the episode. But don't forget, PODFAM50. I know you guys will love it. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. I am so excited that you decided to tune in for today's episode, because today we're going to be doing a full Q&A episode. So I haven't even planned anything for this episode, if I'm going to be honest with y'all. But I got a ton of questions on my health journey and my journeys that I've been through. I put a Q&A box on my Instagram stories, and I got so many questions on it that I couldn't answer it all just on Instagram stories. So I thought, you know what? Let's make a whole episode just answering your questions on each of my journeys. And if you want to know more of the journeys I've been through, my disordered eating journey, my holistic health journey, my gut health, my hormones, my fitness journey, my self-development journey, all of the journeys, I talked about it all mainly in my three-part mini-series that I just posted, which was all about how to heal the relationship with yourself, body, and food. And I also have a ton more episodes that goes deeper into my health journey in the podcast, so definitely go check those out. I have some stuff on my Instagram as well, but I'm not going to get into the specifics of the stories of my journeys today. I really just want to answer all of your questions, because we have a ton to go through. So without further ado, let's just get right into it. I don't want to have any more of an intro. And let's get started with this question. I'm just going to scroll and choose whatever pops to my attention. I'm telling you, I don't have anything planned. Number one question, let's see. Overeating/undereating, please. Struggling with this currently, and it's so rough. Yes. So there's a ton of questions in here about healing the relationship with food and overeating/undereating. So let's just kind of get into how I managed to stop overeating, because that was the biggest struggle of it all, was learning to not overeat anymore. And luckily I can say I'm in a place right now where I genuinely don't remember the last time I overate to the point where I was like so full or not feeling well. I think I've pretty much nailed down how to feel solid after eating. And the biggest thing for me was learning to not undereat anymore. The overeating came as a result of me undereating. And I know it sounds so simple, and I know it can be a lot harder in the moment, but the first step was realizing that I actually was undereating. I didn't realize I was undereating at the time. I thought, oh, this is just enough food for what I need. And then I would come home after the end of the day and at night, and I would just eat nonstop. I would overeat like crazy because I was depriving my body all day. And don't forget, I was active. I was working out. I was playing soccer. I was doing things. And so if you're struggling right now with overeating, you have to know that a, a lot of it will come from the fact that you are probably not nourishing your body and feeding it enough nutrients and food that it needs. A big thing for me too is that I used to think carbs were the enemy. I thought carbs were the devil. So I would go all day without eating carbs. And then at night, I couldn't figure out why I would overeat foods that were higher in carbohydrates. That was literally because I wasn't eating enough carbs throughout the day. And so you have to realize that this overeating, undereating cycle stops by you actually fueling and nourishing your body to the amount that it needs. Okay, glad we got that one out of the way. I mean, there's a ton on healing your relationship with food. And like I said, that is probably the biggest one, was learning to actually eat enough and to actually eat the foods that I was craving and to not have the restriction, because the restriction just creates more of a desire to binge, because we all want what we can't have. Think about it that way. How you got over body image / comparison / guilt / overthinking / body dysmorphia. Okay, this is a loaded question, but let's get into it. Okay, the biggest thing that I think for me, because I used to really struggle with constantly comparing my body. I would literally take screenshots of these girls on Pinterest with super flat stomachs and be like, this is my inspo and I won't be happy until I look like this. Da 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 da, you know, the body dysmorphia. I never thought I was skinny enough. And the biggest thing that I think helped me kind of switch out of that mindset was not making my whole life around what I looked like. Like, I used to revolve my entire existence around being skinnier or being fitter or working out or looking a certain way. And now my life is so full with so many other things that, you know, working out and taking care of my body, it's one part of my life, but it's not my whole life. And so if you're somebody who is really always thinking about what they look like and always checking themselves in a mirror and feeling a certain way about what they look like, you have to make your life way more fulfilling, have bigger things that you want to do than just be as skinny as possible and look a certain way. And I know it's easier said than done, right? But the biggest thing for me was focusing more on my grades, getting a good job, building my business, cultivating solid female friendships, working on myself, making myself a better person, showing up in the world how I want to show up as. Doing all of those things will create a life that is so much more fulfilling than just what you look like. So then therefore you're not going to be constantly thinking about it all the time, because you have other things in your life that you're also focusing on. So start with just one thing, even if it's like a hobby or something that you genuinely enjoy. Focus on that, and then over time you won't just constantly be thinking about your body and body comparing yourself anymore. So that's something to really think about. How to stay disciplined on the right track even when you feel like you can't / don't want to. Great question. Here's the biggest thing, you guys. Motivation fades. You're not always going to feel motivated. You're not always going to feel like you want to. Okay, I have two parts to this question, two answers to this. So number one, don't rely on motivation, okay? You have to learn that self-care really comes the most when you do the things when you least feel like doing it. That is the highest form of self-care. I've said it before, I'm gonna say it again, okay? The best form of self-care is not bubble baths and skincare. It's literally doing the things that you know you need the most when you least feel like doing it. It's doing that meditation. It's going for that walk. It's disconnecting from your phone when you're feeling anxious. It's cooking yourself a nourishing meal when you haven't cooked at home after weeks and you just genuinely don't feel like it because you haven't been doing it. That is self-care. So even if you don't feel like doing it, you know that that's what's going to help you feel the best. So therefore, you do it because that is the best form of self-care and self-love. And number two, the answer to the second part to this question, which is about staying disciplined on the right track, F the right track. Honestly, that is a term that I really don't like. I don't like the term tracks. I don't like, oh, how do I stay on track during the holidays? How do I stay on track on vacation? What even is this track? What if the track is just to live your best, happiest life? And then you follow that track. Who said the track has to be, you know, discipline and motivation and looking a certain way and the workouts and this? Who cares? You can create your own track. And that's something that I used to really struggle with that
I would stress myself out being like, oh my gosh, I can't go to this restaurant because I'm going to lose all my progress and I'm going to be out of, you know, I'm going to get out of the right track. What? We literally make this shit up and we just follow it blindly. Like, no, there is no right track. There's only the track that you set for yourself. And for me right now, my track is living my best life, feeling good. And that can look different every single day, every day. So I don't know what the right track is. I just know that the track is the track that makes me feel my best. So just think about that. Let's see. Besides a holistic approach transformation, have you had any aesthetic work done? No, I have not, actually. That's a good question. I actually haven't gotten that question. No work, just the internal transformation, growing up a little bit, you know, learning how to do your makeup and hair a little bit better. But no fillers, Botox, nothing, no work. Let's think. How did the holidays affect you and what have you learned? Ooh, that's a good question. Especially because the holiday times are coming up. And I think when this episode is released, it is going to be like holiday times. I learned that stressing out over the holidays and stressing out over eating, quote unquote, differently than what you're used to, or quote unquote, not working out as much as you used to, is worse for you than just eating the damn things and doing the damn things. That's what I've learned during the holidays, that the holidays are just one day, one week, even one month, one time of the year. And it doesn't really make a big difference in how you look. What really does make the big difference in how you look is when you take it overboard to the extreme, is when you tell yourself, okay, I can overly indulge or overly this, or because you've been restricting so much, you use the holidays as an excuse to go overboard. That's when the changes and the physical things that you don't want actually do happen. But if you're practicing balance and moderation, the holidays are fine. I've literally learned that it doesn't make any difference. You just need to have balance, have moderation, and not stress out about it. The stress is literally the worst thing that you can do. Okay, let's do a gut health question. I struggle from bloating, but I'm not sure what it is from. How do I figure that out? Great question. Gut health is so bio-individual and unique, and it's going to be different for every single person. And so I always recommend a very personalized approach. I can give a ton of, you know, generic tips that have helped me. But if you're really wanting to figure out and getting to the root cause of what's happening for you, I would really recommend seeing a functional medicine doctor and doing some sort of gut health tests, seeing what's going on internally, maybe doing a stool test so that you can actually get to the root cause of what's happening if there is something that's going on from within that you can work on. If it's not medical, it could be really related to stress. Stress was a big part of my gut health journey when I was stressing about every single thing I was eating, stressing out about every single thing I was doing. The stress really got to me and my gut, and that really held on to a lot of bloating. So it could be stress related, but it could be so many different things. I mean, also not to mention one of my best friends, she was talking about, this was a little bit ago, but she was saying that she would be bloated every single day so much. And the second she got out of her toxic relationship and like really let that go, the bloat just disappeared. She didn't change anything else. So there could be so many different reasons for why there is a root cause to the bloating, but I would always recommend taking a very bio-individual approach, looking at your life holistically, working with a doctor if that works for you and if you feel called to, and then looking at how's your emotional states, how are your relationships, how is your stress levels, like really taking a holistic approach to it and figuring that out. Another question on bloating and gut issues that doctors can't seem to figure out. I get it. I did the same thing. I went to a ton of doctors and nothing really helped. I will say that functional medicine doctors, more the holistic health side and the holistic health approach could maybe help. But also, like I said earlier, a lot of it was emotional and stress related too, which obviously is not going to show up in like a stool test or the gut health tests. Knowing where to start with hormone imbalances. I'm going to say the same thing for this one. Definitely work with a functional medicine doctor if you can. If you cannot and you just have a regular doctor, see if that they can do a saliva test. because that is the most accurate test to seeing what your hormone levels are. I have a whole podcast episode on my hormonal imbalance journey, so definitely check that out. But always recommend getting to the root cause and seeing which hormone levels of yours are maybe higher or lower than the others. And then you can kind of work backwards from there to then figure out what you need to do to correct those higher levels of something or lower levels of another one. It's really hard to do if you're just playing a guessing game. And there are general hormone tips, but like I said, getting to the root cause and seeing a doctor can really help you. Okay, let's get into the next question. Can you talk about exercising? Is it necessary to be going to the gym 7 days a week? No, definitely not necessary. That's an obsession. I definitely had an obsession with it and is not necessary. Honestly, guys, working out too much can do more of the opposite than what you want. It can make things worse. It can make you more inflamed and puffy because you're over-exercising. Over-exercising is not good at all. Inflammation. What's worked for you? What hasn't? Okay, this probably responds to my face. My face used to be so much more puffy and inflamed. And now, I mean, sometimes it still can get inflamed, but I used to just live in a state of inflammation and you could feel it and physically see it in my body and especially on my face. So some things that helped with the inflammation, number one, was healing that relationship with food. Because here's the thing, guys, the binge and restrict cycle can wreak havoc on your gut, your digestion, and your inflammation because it's not normal. Our body doesn't know what to do with all the food at one time. And then when you undereat, your body thinks that, oh, maybe from a primal standpoint, maybe there's not enough food, so we need to hold on to more water or food or inflammation or fat because we don't know the next time we're going to be getting food. We're in starvation mode. So when you continuously do that back and forth for so long, months, years, whatever the case might be, your body will hold on to inflammation. Your body literally doesn't know what to do. So that getting out of that cycle really helped me with the inflammation, not to mention the alcohol. I used to drink way more than I do now, and alcohol definitely can create that like puffy, like moon round face. So alcohol is a big one. Sugar, if you're eating a lot of sugar, that can create a ton of inflammation in the face as well. So those are just a few things to say the least, but I think also doing things like gua sha, facial massages, lymphatic drainage, making sure you're getting enough sleep, really taking care of yourself, lowering your stress, those will all really help with the inflammation, not just in your face, but generally in the rest of your body. What switch in your diet had the biggest impact? Okay. I don't know exactly what this question means in terms of what impact, but I'm just going to assume just like in the best way possible. And that was a few things. A, eating majority whole foods. So when I was younger and I was really into fitness, I really emphasized like calorie counting and eating low cal. And that created me eating a lot of like processed foods that had lower calories, but weren't necessarily like good ingredients. They weren't necessarily good for you. They were just lower in calories. And all that processed food really had a big impact on my gut because it was a lot of like artificial sweeteners, sugars, processed foods to make it that low calorie. And so switching from like a low calorie perspective and mindset to a more whole food diet. So what I mean by whole foods is like not processed, whole foods, foods in their natural form, like fruits, vegetables, proteins, meats, eggs, beans, you know, just foods that they don't really go through a process. They're like actually just food. That had a huge positive impact on my body, my gut, my skin, my hair, everything. That completely transformed the way that my physical body felt. And another switch that had the biggest impact was practicing everything in moderation, honestly. Like now if I want the ice cream, if I want the cookie, if I want the french fries, like I'll eat some of it. I don't eat all of it. I don't overly indulge. Maybe I will eat all of it, but I'm saying I don't overly binge on it. So not overly binging on the, you know, quote unquote, less nutritious foods had a huge impact on me because I could just eat a little bit here and there when I'm craving it. And I could know that I can eat it at any time. There was no restrictions around if and when I could eat those things. I knew that, you know, I could just eat whatever I wanted. And then therefore I wouldn't overly eat on things. All right, let's see what next question. Maybe let's do two more questions. Would love to know more about your nutrition training. Did you like it? Recommend? Yes, I went through AFPA. Got a few questions on that. AFPA is really good. I've also heard really great things of IIN. Let's see. Counting calories era. Yeah, I'm very grateful I'm not in the counting calories era anymore. Like I said, it's better to be focusing on whole nutritious foods rather than calories, because calories doesn't really mean anything. You can have something that's low in calorie, but it's not really going to fill you up. It's not going to keep you satiated. Versus you can have foods higher in calories, like meat or avocados or, you know, nut butters, but maybe they keep you more full for longer. So therefore, you're not feeling the need to overeat or to binge. So calories don't really matter, to be honest. I don't count calories at all. Educate us on what you learned about food, gut health, food types you need to avoid, etc. Well, I will say this. I definitely learned throughout the journey that I was sensitive to gluten. So cutting out gluten was really helpful for me. I did find out later on that I do have celiac. So figuring out any intolerances that you might have, such as gluten, dairy, soy, those are some of the main offenders. But there could be other random ones too, like eggs or something that could be affecting your gut and the way you feel. And so my best recommendation for that is to be really aware of how you feel after eating certain foods. And for me, I noticed a correlation between feeling like shit and eating gluten. And I was like, okay. Yeah, there's definitely something with gluten. So just thinking about that and seeing how you feel after certain foods can really make a difference. Okay, let's do one more question. How to find friends who you actually resonate with? Struggling so much with this right now. Okay, I love this question. Da-da-da. When you're on this journey, when you're on a health journey or just a self-development journey in general, it is very important to find people that you're in alignment with, because they can help you go from A to Z much quicker than you can on your own. And so the best piece of advice I have for you is to really show up as your authentic self. That's how I attracted newer friendships into my life, was because I was being the person that I would want to be friends with. And so if you're on this journey, how can you share more, be vulnerable more, open up about your journey more, be your authentic self? Like for me, that was literally starting an Instagram and a TikTok and talking about it. And therefore, I made friends through social media. But that doesn't have to be just through social media. It could start with you talking to another human being about it and then realizing, oh, they have also struggled with this thing, or they're going through this journey. And then you can help each other, and you can send each other book recommendations and podcast recommendations. And you can actually have productive discussions about things that improve your life and better your life, that's not just revolved around talking shit about other people. That is how I would start to approach these types of things, because it is really important to have good people around you when you're trying to heal and you're trying to get on, you know, get past this journey. Okay, I actually lied. I'm gonna answer a few more questions because I like this way of podcasting. It's kind of fun. I haven't done this in a while. How did you manage to eat more without gaining weight? Okay, I want to say something real quick. I have gained weight. I have lost weight. I've gained weight again. I've lost weight again. I've gained weight again. I weigh more now than I did when I was younger. You know, even like a year ago, 2 years ago, I definitely weigh more now. I don't weigh myself at all, but I can just see it. And here's the thing. I don't focus on that. I don't focus on the weight gain, the weight loss, because I know it's going to come and go in waves. And so if you are somebody who's really trying to heal the relationship with food, you are fed up with your own shit, you're sick of it, you want to feel good again, you want to live life to its fullest, you have to drop the stress and the pressure you put on yourself when it comes to weight gain. Because at the end of the day, who cares if you gain a little weight? Who cares? If you gain 5 pounds, but that means your quality of life skyrockets, that's way more important to me than those 5 pounds. I would rather have those 5 pounds and live a happy, fulfilling life then stress myself out so much just to be a little bit thinner. That's me personally. And so if you really are on this journey, just know that it's okay if you gain a little weight. It's okay. Maybe that's where your body is meant to be. Maybe that's where it feels more comfortable and safe being at. Because thinner does not always equal better. Because if that means that you are having a lower quality of life, that is worse for you. than gaining 5, 10 pounds, whatever the number is, doesn't matter. So just think about that. And while I was on my journey, I definitely kind of let go of that expectation of weight gain and weight loss because, you know, it's a journey and other things in my life were more important to me. Let's do one more question. This is actually the last one. How to not lose a positive mindset? You are truly inspiring. Thank you, my love. I want you to envision your future self. If you're listening to this episode right now, I want you to close your eyes with me. I want you to take a deep breath in, let it out. And I want you to envision your future self, the version of you who is fully healed, who feels fully good in her skin, whose physical ailments have went away, who feels excited about life and where she's going, who can look back at this present moment and show gratitude for that girl who kept fighting for her health and her happiness and made it past the other side. And I want you to envision what that future self of version of you feels like. And just sit with it for a minute. Stay with me here. Keep your eyes closed and just feel what the future version of you feels like right now. Imagine that you've already gotten there. Take a deep breath in and let it out. And now that you've felt that energy of your future self who's gotten past all the ailments and all the healing things she's healed, you now know that that is coming for you. That is truly where you're going. And that's already happening right now for you. All you have to do is stay positive and get through it. So to answer your question, the way to, you know, hold on to a positive mindset is to do it for your future self, to know that you do get there, but you have to stay positive and get through those hard moments to meet her. Because she didn't get there by staying negative and being down all the time. She got there by staying positive and pushing through. So do it for your future self and know that that is what's coming for you. You just have to stay positive through it. So that is all the questions we are going to get through today in today's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. I hope that these pieces of advice could help you. And if they did, please feel free to take a screenshot, share it on your story. Let me know that you listened. I love, love, love hearing from you guys. And if you have been enjoying the podcast, feel free to shoot us a rating on Apple Podcasts. Those help me so much. They help rank the podcast so that even more people can find it and improve themselves and improve their overall lives. So thank you so much for being here. I'm sending all my love and I'll catch you in the next Pod Wednesday. Mwah.